Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, please, and look at chapter number 14 today. Matthew chapter 14, if you find that, if you would please stand up, please, for honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verses 22 through 29, if you would follow along, please. Matthew 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Jesus answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach before the church, the adults here, and I pray that you would bless this time we have here this morning. I pray that you would speak, Lord, and we would listen as you have something from our word, from your word, that you can challenge us in our lives. I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, they would settle this matter of salvation. Please bless us today, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church today. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. Well, just a couple more days, and you will be rid of Brother Matt and I running all this stuff. So no cheering or anything, but Pastor and Brother Evans are going to be back. And we might be cheering, but we're looking for them coming back. We're glad they got to go on vacation, but they're not allowed to ever go again. They have to stay here, and that's great. It sounds like they're having a great time. I think tonight we're going to have some pictures to show of their trip. I don't know if we got them up this morning yet. And Pastor sent back a few pictures of all the places they have been. And so we're looking forward to them coming. And thank you for praying for them and being faithful while they've been gone. And it's been a blessing. Matthew chapter 14, we look here. And in this passage, we see how Jesus, he straightway constrained the disciples to get into a ship. He got all his disciples together and they wanted to get away from the multitudes. And he took them and put them on a ship and he just sent them out. And we see here in verse number 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the evening was come, he was there alone." And that's an important principle we've got to learn in our life, and something that, we're not really going to cover that this morning, but how Jesus, even being the Son of God, had to get alone and apart to pray. And where he had to push the disciples out into the ship and to go out into the sea and had to get away from the multitudes, you see how many times how he had to get some time alone just to refresh himself, just to work on his relationship with his Father, and just like we need to do with our Heavenly Father as well. So he sent them out into the ship and sent them out into the sea. And when the disciples got out there, it says the wind was contrary. And the waves started rocking the boat. And man, I'm sure they were terrified. And it says it was the fourth watch of the night. I believe that's maybe getting to the early morning hours. And Jesus started coming out and walking on the water. And if you're on the ship, you probably would have been just the same as them. And they were terrified. And they shouted in fear. They were afraid because they saw this spirit walking on the water coming to them. And they thought the winds and the waves, and now a ghost. What's going to come next? And so they started to get a little bit scared. But then they cried out in fear. Jesus, he spoke back to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Just the comforting words of Jesus that he can have on our lives. When sometimes it seems like everything's going wrong and the waves are crashing and it's just a rough time, and Jesus just puts his hand on you and says, "It's okay, don't be afraid. It's I. I've got everything under control." And if the disciples were wise enough, they would have noticed that, although I don't think they were any different than any of us are here today. Just shows their human nature and how they kind of had to get through some struggles in their life. And one of the disciples, a man named Peter. Peter was a rambunctious one. He was always getting himself into trouble, always stumbling over his words, saying something to Jesus that he should have maybe held back. And Peter, kind of being the loudmouth, spoke up. And he said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee." So he kind of waited a second, and Jesus bid him to come unto him. So Peter thought, okay, we're going to find out if this is Jesus. And as he spoke to Jesus, he not only had the words of faith that he wanted to ask Jesus to come unto him, or for him to come unto Jesus, but he not only had the words of faith, but he had the action of that faith as well. And where he had a very scary moment where he stepped over the edge of that ship and put his feet on that water and started walking to Jesus that day. And you know what? That's a very scary place to get on in your life, where you step out on faith. And where in your life you say, either I'm going to fall and I'm going to drown, or God's going to step through for me. But you know what? There's not a greater place in your life than when you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. When you know that you are in faith following God's will for your life. But the only thing I have to look at here is, you know, a lot of people look at this story and you think Peter walked on the water and he got his eyes off of Jesus and he started to fall. And you know, he should have had the faith to keep his eyes on Jesus and to trust in him. But I think it just kind of shows that he's a normal Christian. He wasn't a superhuman kind of person. That's just like we are as well. And he got his eyes off of Jesus. But one thing I want to look at, though, is why was Peter the only one stepping out on the water by faith? When there was 11 other disciples in the ship, Peter was the only one that said, Lord, bid me to come unto thee. And Jesus bid him to come unto him. But all the other ones just sat in the ship and watched. And they were the bystanders watching Peter see a miracle and see God work through him in his life. And I want to ask you that today. What is the reason why we have Christians that just kind of sit on the side and we're a part of it? We're there with Jesus. We're there with the other Christians, but we're just kind of watching Jesus work. And now it's not a bad thing. At least they were there. At least they're doing their best, I believe, to serve God. I mean, Jesus sent them on the ship, but just kind of watching, just kind of looking and seeing God work. And I wonder today, what is it that holds Christians back? And I think that the reason it is just some indifference to where we see God work, but, you know, that's okay that God's working on your life, but I'm comfortable where I'm at. That's okay that you want to step out and see a miracle by Jesus and do something great for God. And a story that was penned down in the Word of God that we'll read for Christians for years and years to come. And what's the reason why some of us just sit back and where maybe the other ones, they wanted to see Jesus work and they wanted to see something happen, but they just kind of stayed in the boat. They just kind of stood back there and watched God work. There was no motivation or desire by the other disciples to draw closer. There was no other words spoken by anyone other than Peter that we have account of in the Scripture here. And they just kind of stood back. It's kind of the attitude of, as a Christian, if God steps through and does something great in my life, then great. But if not, then I'm content just standing here. I'm just content being a member at Shasta Baptist Church or being saved, not on my way to hell. I'm content where I'm at, and I'm just, you know, I'm here. I'm filling my spot, and you know what? That's better than being out in the world. That's better than these other disciples have left Jesus and gone with the other people, but what is it holding us back from honestly surrendering our life to God? Where we say, God, whatever your will is, whatever you would bid me to do, I will come unto thee. What is it that's holding us back? And a lot of times we preach to teenagers about giving your life to God and about how you need to follow God with your life and follow God's will and follow God's direction. But listen, that's just the same for adults as well, and even more so. Just because you're 30, 40, 50 years old, whatever it may be, doesn't mean we stop finding God's will for our life and following through with God's will. We have youth conference coming up this week, and youth conference worked in my life probably unlike any other specific event in my life, where you got to hear the preaching of the Word of God and how that worked on my life, and it cultivated me to where that I could become a good young Christian man that I should be. But listen here, as adults, we don't have the youth conference times. We don't have the camp times. We've got the revival service and things, but what is it that's holding us back from saying, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do? Or not even just that God speaks to you first, but we see here how Peter's the one that took the initiative. Jesus wasn't the one that spoke back to him and said, hey, why don't one of you disciples just come out here and Peter step forth? Peter said, you know what? There's Jesus and I want to see something happen in my life. Just not wanting to be one of the ordinary. Not just kind of filling in the crowd and filling in the seat. An indifference is not inclined really to one side or the other. Not that you're against God and not that you're against the Word of God and church, but just kind of not really completely for it. Just kind of hanging in the middle. Just kind of a lukewarm Christian. What is it that's caused indifference in our life? When is it that God stopped speaking to us? And not that he wasn't speaking to us, but that we kind of said, you know what, God, that's that's enough of you working on my life. I've changed these few areas, but that's about as far as I go. You know, I'm going to stop here. I'm content. I look good enough on the outside, and I'm doing okay. And we don't let God speak to us anymore. We don't spend time with God as much as we should. We don't follow God. We think, you know what, He's there, and when I need God, I'll use Him. Kind of like that 911 call. You know, when you need an ambulance, when you need the police, man, 911, and there we go. We've got the police on the phone, and they're going to come help us. And that's kind of how we think of God sometimes. And I'm not talking about just you, but myself as well. Where sometimes we think, you know, okay, I'm going to get serious about being a Christian when I go through a tragedy. I'm going to get serious about serving God and wanting to see a miracle when I'm down and out. When I've got nothing left, then I go to God. Listen, let's not wait till the winds and waves are crashing around us to start and turn to God. Indifference with the Bible, just not really reading it, kind of, you know, we misplace it for a while and it doesn't really bother us that much. Just from Sunday to Sunday, it gets set on a shelf, and when Sunday comes around, Sunday morning, we come and find the Bible and brush it off, get the dust off of it, make it look really worn, you know, move the pages around. Oh man, I tore a page reading my Bible this week. And the Word of God isn't really speaking to us anymore. I mean, we try to read it, but God's not really in there. We're not getting much out of it. What's the deal with our indifference with our soul winning? Where we used to go out and serving Christ, and we used to knock on doors and ask people to come to church, ask them if they would like to tell them how to be saved. But now, you know, that's for the younger people to do. That, you know, that's for the teenagers. They've got the life. And praise the Lord, yesterday at the men's barbecue, and Pastor Herbert was speaking about how every Saturday they had an elderly woman, and I believe even still, I think he said she's about 80 years old, got a little cane, and comes out soul winning every week. She can't quite get up the stairs when they go somewhere, so if they do an apartment complex, then she gets all the bottom doors with whoever partner is, and the other person gets the top floor. And he says, praise the Lord for an older lady that will come out and wants to serve God. But he said, hey, where's the 20 and 30-year-old men? Where's the young men and women that have the strength and they have that youth, but they're wasting it? Just kind of, you know, they're not there. Praise the Lord for the older people that are faithful and setting a good example, but where are the young people at? Indifferent Christians. You know what? I think of those indifferent Christians, they're just kind of sitting in the boat. And you know, there is safety sitting in the boat. When you're off the side here and, you know, just kind of, we're at church, but, you know, I'm not really stepping out. No one's going to notice if I don't do anything because I'm just kind of filling a spot. I'm not going to look foolish if I fall. No one's going to have an account of me to preach about in years to come. Listen, just kind of safety in the boat. A safety barrier that, you know, I can't fail if I don't try to do anything. But, you know, I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. I'd rather get out there and work and try to do something for God and maybe try to do too much and God say, hey, you got to hold back, than someone having to try to kick you and push you along and say, hey, you've got to get out soul winning. You've got to get that reading your Bible. Got to get to the revival services. What is it that's holding us back? We're looking at the waves, just kind of standing there and going, wow, look at that one crashing down. Oh, wow, but Jesus is out there. Jesus is out there walking on the sea to them, a miracle that they're watching. They're kind of surprised to see Jesus. They think it's a ghost. They weren't expecting him. They weren't looking for Jesus to come. They just kind of thought, oh, wow, you know, kind of shocked them. Hey, Jesus is here. Hey, look at God. God's own son is walking on the water to us. We get to speak to him. We get to go and walk out to him. But just kind of sat around there. What is it that's gotten us to this place? And what is it that's holding us back? At some point in our lives, we're going to battle that area of indifference, where we kind of get to a place where we just get comfortable and, God, don't mess with anything right now because I'm doing okay. Where does this indifference come from? I believe, first of all, it comes from disobedience. It comes from disobedience. Disobedience makes you callous to instruction. If so many times the Holy Spirit spoken to you and he said, Christian, I want you to go and do this, fill in the blank. And you say, no, not today. The next day, Christian, no, not today. And after we've said no and no and no and no so many times, we've kind of pushed God away. Just that disobedience has caused us to become calloused to God, where no longer can we hear him even speaking anymore. And that's a sad place to get to. It's an empty place to sit at, where you're in church and you say, I haven't gotten something from God in months. God hasn't spoken to me and I don't know what the deal is. We've caused by disobedience. When you know what to do and you decide to disobey, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, we know what to do. It's not a problem with that. We're just not getting out and doing it. The Bible says in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We kind of come a long way from just eating the forbidden fruit to where we've allowed more things in Christianity and in our churches. We've allowed more sin and things to come in instead of trying to get more things out of the church. Where we've allowed that sin to come into our life and it's just become part of us. It's just something that we've come to deal with. Disobedient to God, disobedient to authority. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, this isn't just written to young children or to teenagers. This is for adults as well. Obey them that have the rule over you. See, God has put authority in each and every one of our lives that oftentimes we try to buck it. To be honest with you, no one really likes someone telling you, don't do that. Do this. You need to get right. You need to do this way. No one likes it. It doesn't feel good. It just kind of rubs you the wrong way. But you know what? We need that. We need God to come to us every once in a while and chastise us and correct us and say, hey, Christian, you need to get right with that in your life. Listen, that disobedience will cause you to become calloused to the speaking of God's word. What's causing indifference in our life? I believe, secondly, comfort. The disciples in the ship, thinking about this, why would I step out in faith when I could just kind of wait here and I could just take it easy? I can kind of take the back seat and let somebody else step out and see God work in their life. When you can stay here and just be safe. You know what? This kind of reminds me of the story of Moses and the children of Israel. And where Moses was sent by God, sent his brother with him to go and get the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. They had been in there for years and years and years. And finally, this was their chance to get out and to go into the promised land. And so Moses went to Pharaoh, and time again, you know, the 10 plagues happened there. And finally, Pharaoh let them go, and the children of Israel got out on their journey through the wilderness to go to the promised land. And of course, when they got out of slavery and out of bondage, the whole time they were saying, thank you, Lord. Man, God, you're so great. You're so wonderful. You saved me. We're going to the promised land. But the whole time they're going, man, I wish I was back in Egypt. Man, I wish I was eating the food back there. And of course, they're Baptists because all they're thinking about is the food. What kind of food do we get there? So they're like, why can't I go back in Egypt where they're in slavery to the wicked Egyptians that serve false gods, and they're making them build all the buildings and things from. Why would they want to go back there? It's more comfortable. It's easier. I don't have to think. I don't have to do anything. I just get up, do my work. But listen, the whole time they're on the road going to the promised land, any chance they could question God or question Moses, and they're saying, hey, I want to go back to Egypt. Listen here, we're too comfortable in our lives. They don't know what we're missing. We don't know what we're missing out on with God's and God's blessing. The whole time they're going to the promised land, instead of looking forward and seeing what they could have ahead of them, the whole time they're looking back and looking at the world, looking at what they left and what they got saved out of, taken out of that bondage. Listen, we've come just too comfortable in our life where, you know, I don't want to make the journey through the wilderness. It's not easy. Got to sleep on the ground under the stars and got to deal with the weather and manna falls from heaven and we have to go and grab it, but that's just too much work to go to that promised land. Listen, have you become too comfortable in your Christian life where you're set in your ways and there's nothing that's going to get you out of that? When you get to a place where you will no longer let God change you, you become too comfortable. You become too set in your ways. We got to stop thinking about us and start thinking about others. And that's what a good Christian is all about. You know what? Jesus Christ didn't come so that people could serve him and worship him, but he came so that he could save others. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ didn't come for his own pleasure, for someone to worship him. He said, you know what? I don't care if they mock me. I don't care if they spit at me. I don't care what they do. I'm coming, and my focus is on the cross, and his focus was on each and every one of us. Listen here, if our Christian life is what can I get out of it, we've got something wrong. There's something that's not right. But when we get to the place where we say, you know what, where can I help? Lord, where can I serve? Where can I get plugged in? Become too comfortable in our lives. Another reason we have indifference is because we're distracted. We're looking at everything around us. We get too much distracted with the fun and games of life. Just the pleasurable things may not be wrong. There may not be anything technically bad with having fun or going out to the lake or spending time with your family, But when it takes place of God, it's a distraction. Where when once you went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and now we don't need Wednesday night as much. We already go 2 times a week. Why have to go 3? And something has gotten in your way and distracted you from your purpose as a Christian. And our purpose should be, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, are we pressing toward the mark, or are we getting too distracted by the fun and the glamour that this world has for us? Listen, we're not supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth. We're supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Are we become too distracted in this world? Too distracted because of sin. Sin, when it comes into your life, changes your thought process and your focus. When we allow sin to come into our lives, no longer are we focused and we're set in what we want to do. Kind of like the horse when it's got his blinders on and it's going through the race, doesn't want to see anything on the side of it. Doesn't want to get distracted by the horse on this side or the one on that side. Its only purpose is to run forward and to go around that track to the finish line. Listen, we've got to get those spiritual blinders on again, where we stop looking at the sin and allowing that sin to come into our life, because it's throwing us off course. It's sending you around to the right when you're supposed to go to the left. It's sending you out of doing God's will. We're distracted. When I'm driving along in my car and I have my wife next to me, we'll maybe be driving down to Sacramento to see my family, and we'll be driving down the freeway. My wife's, she'll read or do this or that, and every once in a while, you know, maybe it's a time where the sun's going down and there's a nice sunset. You see that along the hills going south on I-5. And look on your right-hand side. And so my wife will be like, wow, look at that over there. And so I'm driving, and I, you know, just kind of peek out there. And then all of a sudden you hear and feel, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And you start going off the road. And I pull back in. Oh, man, I got to be careful with that. My wife say, oh, man, look at the bird out there or something, whatever it is. Look at the building. Something's on fire, whatever it is. Look out the window again. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Start getting off course. Getting distracted. And then I finally say, okay, You got to stop telling me to look at things, because I'm going to keep looking every single time and keep going over the bumps, but I'm going to get us killed. You've got to stop doing that. We're getting too distracted in our lives. Distracted. We're going along in our Christian lives and, hey, what's that over there? But bump and start getting off course. Hey, look it over there. Start getting off course again. Hey, we've got to keep our spiritual blinders up and keep focused on what God wants us to do. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Listen, affection is singular, not affections. We have one affection, that is serving God, and that is serving God until we die. And listen, that's what our lives should be, setting your affection on things above. What is this area of indifference caused from? A lack of faith. A lack of faith. Maybe the other disciples didn't think it was possible. Maybe they're standing in the ship and they saw Peter go and they thought, that would be really neat and I would love to do that, but I'm not stepping out there, man. You know how far down that goes? And what if Jesus doesn't save me? And what if? And what if? And what if? But if in our Christian lives we're always thinking about the what ifs and what happens if I do this for God, then lack of faith. We're never going to finally take that step and step out on faith for God. Where we're standing in the boat and looking out, and hey, there's Peter going out, but you know, no, not for me. I'm gonna stay here. If I see someone else do it, and then I'll go out. You know, sometimes it takes stepping out on faith to give for the seed ministry. There's no money in the bank account, but I told God I was gonna give this much a week. Sometimes it takes stepping out on faith, and until you step out on faith, you're not gonna see God's miracles working in your life. If it always has to fit in man's reasoning, and you can explain it, God's not really working in your life like you should. It's when you step out and you say, you know what, either I fall or God saves me. And you say, Lord, that was amazing. That was wonderful. Look at what you did with my family. Look what you did with my life. Look what you did with my job or with the finances, whatever it may be. A lack of faith. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Look at the key words in there. I can do all things through Christ. With God, all things are possible. Listen here, but it has nothing to do with us, because I can do all things through Christ. If we can explain it, if it's something that we can make up on our own, it's not faith. It doesn't have to make sense to us. Sometimes we say, you know, but God wouldn't really use me anyway. I don't have the talents and the personality for God to use anyway. You know what? That was my excuse when I was a teenager. You know, God, I'm kind of shy. I can't serve you. Listen, but God doesn't use a personality. God doesn't use a certain person that fits this block right here. Because you know what? If they had to, I wouldn't be here today. But if it's God, here's my life. However you want to use it, go ahead. I'm having the faith to step out and so that you can use me. Listen, God doesn't use an age category. He doesn't use a personality. He doesn't use this or that. Listen, he does have requirements. But listen here, we've got to say, I have the faith to step out and to see God work. You know, kind of the principle of draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. You know, he wants you to take that first step out. He wants you to take the step so then you can see him work and draw closer to you as well. God's not working because of our lack of faith. We're not allowing God to use us and show that faith in our life. And then lastly, I believe that for some of us, it may be the case that we have an indifference to the Word of God because we're not saved. We're unsaved. We've never settled this matter of salvation in our life. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, "Ye must be born again." When God was speaking to, or when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, "Well, how can you be born again? Can you enter the second time in your mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said to him, you're kind of looking at this a little bit wrong. He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We must have a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday. Everyone that's here today has a physical birthday. I was born August 7th, 1983. My birthday is coming up in a couple months. In case you want to take note or anything, you can kind of keep track of that there. But listen here, on my physical birth certificate, it has my name, my parents' name, my weight, and my where I was born. Look, it has it all spelled out there. I was saved at one specific time, one specific place, one specific event. It wasn't over several months. Praise the Lord. It wasn't over, and all the women say amen. It wasn't over several years. It was a very specific time in my life. Listen, that's how salvation is as well. Where when Jesus Christ writes your name, or when God writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's your name right there. And you were saved at this specific time, at this specific moment where you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. It's not, well, I'm working towards becoming saved. Your working has nothing to do with it. Just like your working had nothing to do with your birth as well. Listen here, it has everything to do with Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for your sins. I had nothing to do with that. I'm the first one to say that I had nothing to do with Jesus dying on that cross other than my sins put him there. Other than the fact that if it wasn't for us as sinners, then we wouldn't have to come to Jesus. But listen here, that's the case. And so the case is, unless if you look to the cross and you look to Jesus for your salvation, then we're on our way to a lake of burning fire, to a place called hell. You must be born again. Listen, maybe God's not speaking to us because we've never nailed down that matter of salvation. We never have. Where maybe it was, we thought it was this moment, and then we thought it was this moment, and we never really settled it. Maybe our salvation doesn't match up with the Bible. And if our salvation doesn't match up with the Bible, then the Bible's right. If there's a difference between you and God's Word, you're the one that's in the wrong every time. Amen. Hate to break it to you, but that's a fact. We are wrong. Listen here. And if you come to God and say, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm saved." Listen, a simple prayer of faith, not the words that save you, but putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen here, what is causing this indifference in our life, and how do we get over this? How do we get past just the, I'm here, and I'm showing up, and Jesus Christ, I filled in my spot, to, hey, God, can I come unto you? Hey, Jesus, hey, would you mind if I saw you work in my life? How do we see that? First of all, we've got to look to Jesus. This is where Peter started to get in trouble. He started to get in trouble when he was walking to Jesus and he caught his eyes on him, and then for some reason he took his eyes off and he started to sink. Jesus picked up his hand, grabbed him up, and helped him. Listen, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen, we've got to keep our focus. We've got to say, Jesus, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know the direction you want me to go with my life, and that's where I'm heading. Listen, the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Listen, when we get our eyes off Jesus is when we get in trouble. When we start looking at others, start looking at ourselves, start looking at our problems, the waves crashing around us, That's when we get into trouble and start to fall. Next, we got to walk to Jesus. We got to keep moving. Listen, we've got to, when we stop moving is when we get in trouble. When we get complacent in our life. You know, when we get to the place where it's Saturday afternoon and you're beat. And you say, you know what? Saturday morning comes around and 9:30 comes around and it's soul winning time and I know I'm supposed to be there. I have a commitment and I told God I was going to be there, but man, I'm just beat. I'm tired. You know, we get to that place sometimes where it's been a long week and there's nothing sounds better than you than just sitting on the couch all day long and trying to recuperate. But listen here, when we stop moving is when we get in trouble. You know what the easiest way to catch a target, to catch an animal that you're hunting after is when it stops. When it stops and you finally get it and you get your sights set on it and all of a sudden you can get the animal. You're ready to get it. And that's what I was thinking about these birds outside of my window this morning. I thought if it stands still for just a second and I can get a good fat rock, I'm going to kill it so it will stop squawking at me, driving me crazy. But listen here, as a Christian, when you stop, you allow the enemy to catch up to you. Where Satan as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. When we stop walking and we stop going towards Jesus is when that enemy comes up and he gets the sick or the lame or the weak, those that stop keeping up with the herd. Listen, that's when he gets us. That's when he comes to us and he nails us, when we stop moving. Then last one, how do we get rid of this indifference as we watch God work? You can't explain it. It doesn't always make sense, but there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like God using you in your life. And where it's not that you've become something, but saying, Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why you use me. I'm just a sinner. But Lord, you can have my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Listen here, when you say, God, I'm going to live my life as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, our reasonable service is to live our lives as a living sacrifice, where we can be presented unspotted from the world and unblameable by what this world can put on us. Listen here, where we keep our eyes on Jesus, we keep moving, and we can watch God work. What is it that's still holding us back and we're standing in the boat? We're not quite ready to get out. We're not quite ready to see God work. We want to. The desire's there, but it's got to be more than good intentions. It's got to be more than a good thought of, well, one day I'll do that. You know what? That one day's probably not going to come if you keep saying it. That one day is always going to be another day and never today. Listen, what is it holding you back? Is it maybe that you've never dealt with this matter of salvation? This morning, during the invitation, in just a few moments, you can come forward and deal with this matter today. You don't have to wait for another day. You don't have to wait for another moment. Maybe it's a matter of salvation. Maybe it's a lack of faith where we've fallen before and we're not ready to fall again. If you're not ready to make yourself a fool for Jesus, then you're not quite ready. If you're not ready to fall and fall flat on your face, if you do something you shouldn't, then listen, we've got to get out there. Step out on faith. Then maybe it's an area of disobedience where we've said no to God so many times that God is no longer speaking to us. And we've held back the Holy Spirit. Or we're just too comfortable. We're distracted. Whatever the case may be. Listen, don't let it hold you back anymore. Everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray.